Turn up the stereo. I wanna play you this old song.
It's about love.
Can I do that?
Did we remember what are the plans today?
Bodies wear out. We can get another. What does that one thing have to do with the other one?
Tesla, Man Out of Time. We're continuing chapter 23, Pigeons. Because so many strange interpretations have been made of Tesla's devotion to pigeons, the following letter from Tesla to Pola Votic, the young daughter of Konstantin Votic, Yugoslavian ambassador to the United States, is cited for its simple portrayal of love for the creatures of his childhood. Entitled, A Story of Youth Told by Age, he describes the winter isolation of the house where he was born and of his special friend, the magnificent macaque, the finest of all cats in the world. It was in connection with macaque that his first intimation of electricity came to him one snowy evening when he was 3 years of age. Quote, people walking in the snow left a luminous trail behind them, he wrote, and a snowball thrown against an obstacle gave a flare of light like a loaf of sugar hit with a knife. And you will recall we're talking night, okay? So I've been thinking a lot about this recollection of Nicola's particular gift of sight. Continuing, a snowball thrown against an obstacle gave a flare of light like a loaf of sugar hit with a knife. Unquote. Even at that early age, his vision was hyper-receptive to light. Footprints in the snow were not in muted shades of blue, purple, or black, as they might seem to others. Quote from Nicola, I felt impelled to stroke Macaque's back. What I saw was a miracle which made me speechless. Macaque's back was a sheet of light. Are you with me here with what he's telling us, right? He's telling us that he can see electricity, okay? Anybody out there who also can, please email me. We need to explore this in greater depth. Back to the quote from Nicola. Macaque's back was a sheet of light, and my hand produced a shower of crackling sparks loud enough to be heard all over the place. His father told him this was caused by electricity. His mother said to stop playing with the cat, lest he start a fire. But the child was thinking abstractly. Is nature a gigantic cat? He asked. If so, who strokes its back? It can only be God, I concluded. Unquote. Later, as darkness filled the room, Macaque shook his paws as though he were walking on wet ground, and the boy distinctly saw the furry body surrounded by a halo, like the aura of saints. He asked himself what electricity could be and found no answer. At the time of writing this letter, 80 years had gone by, and Tesla said that he still had no answer. In contrast to the cat's delightful company was the family gander, a monstrous ugly brute with a neck of an ostrich, mouth of a crocodile, and a pair of cunning eyes radiating intelligence and understanding like the human. In old age, Tesla claimed to have a scar inflicted by the monstrous bird, but the other creatures on the farm he loved. I like to feed the pigeons, he said. I liked to feed our pigeons, chickens, and other fowl. take one or the other under my arm and hug and pet it. And even the vicious gander, when it brought its flock home at night after sporting like swans in a meadow brook, was a joy and inspiration to me. Now in New York, as he withdrew more and more from a frenzied age and from people with whom he felt little harmony, his fondness for pigeons took on a strange intensity. And I comment, strange intensity is not a phrase I would use about his love for his only sincere friends. And see my earlier show excerpts when I talk about how much I need the authentic life I find in my early morning walks at Lake Merritt. Continuing, he became alarmingly ill in his office on 40th Street one day in 1921, and as usual refused to see a doctor. And I comment, really, what insight could a doctor possibly have into such a unique situation as it is when someone is targeted by a closeted rogue band of those stuck in power lust using a weapon they had stolen from him. Continuing, when it became apparent that he might be unable to return to his apartment at the St. Regis Hotel, he whispered to his secretary to telephone the hotel, speak with the housekeeper on the 14th floor, and tell her to feed the pigeon in his room. The white pigeon, he said, with touches of gray in her wings. He insisted that the secretary repeat this urgent message after him. The housekeeper was to continue feeding the pigeon every day until further notice. She would find plenty of feed in the room. And I comment, interesting that he had to recover in his office rather than in his rooms. Continuing, whenever in the past the inventor had been unable to visit Bryant Park with the feed, he had hired a Western Union messenger to take care of the errand for him. The white pigeon, it was apparent, was special to him. From his attitude, his secretaries thought he might be delirious. He recovered, and the matter was forgotten until another day when he telephoned his secretary to say the pigeon was very ill and that he could not leave the hotel. Miss Garrett recalled that he spent several days at home. When the pigeon had recovered, he resumed his usual routine of working, walking, thinking, and feeding the birds. About a year later, however, he arrived at his office looking shaken and distraught. In his arm, he carried a tiny bundle. He summoned Julia Sito, who lived in the suburbs, and asked if he would bury the dead pigeon on his property, where the grave could be properly cared for. But scarcely had the machinist returned home on this curious mission than he received a phone call from Tesla, who had changed his mind. "Bring her back, please," he said. "I've made other arrangements." How he finally disposed of her, his staff never knew. 3 years later, Tesla was completely broke, and his bill at the St. Regis Hotel had gone unpaid for a long time. One afternoon, a deputy sheriff arrived at his office and began seizing his furnishings to satisfy a judgment against him. Tesla managed to persuade the officer to grant him an extension. When he had gone, there remained the matter of his secretaries, who had received no salaries in more than 2 weeks. All that was left in his mother Hubbard's cupboard of a safe was the gold Edison medal, which he now removed. It was worth about $100, he said to the embarrassed women. He would have it cut in two and give half to each. Dorothy Skerritt and Muriel Arbus declined in one voice. They offered instead to share with him the small sums of money in their own purses. When Tesla was able to pay them a few weeks later, he placed an additional 2 weeks' salary in each envelope. Yet on the day when he had offered to divide up the Edison medal, there had in fact been a little money in the office, $5 in petty cash. But this he claimed at once for his pigeons, saying he was out of birdseed. He had asked one of his secretaries to go out and buy a fresh supply. With the help of Sito, to whom he also owed a substantial amount of money, he then moved all his office belongings into a new office building. The next blow fell shortly afterward when he was asked to vacate the St. Regis Hotel, in part because of his pigeon friends. At one point, Tesla had put some of the birds into a hamper and sent them home with patient George Scherf, thinking that a spell in Connecticut might do them good. But alas, so fond were they of their old friend and of their risky old haunts that they were back on his window ledge in time for dinner. Sadly, he packed up his possessions of decades and moved to the Hotel Pennsylvania. The pigeons followed. After another few years, he and they would be forced to move to the Hotel Governor Clinton. Nikola and his birds were to spend the final decade of his life in the Hotel New Yorker. We've been reading from Chapter 23, Pigeons, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I just want to go sit out on the stoop and play my guitar. Just watch all the cars go by.